From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
Well, we are really excited to roll out a new series on The Mountain Life. It's called, coincidentally, Living a Mountain Life, in which we highlight colorful locals and explore their stories of living in the Wasatch Mountains.
That's right. We thought that, you know, there's something about people who are attracted to living not just around the mountains, but with the mountains.
Yes. And we also thought that a really great place to start is with a true Park City icon and legend who epitomizes living a mountain life.
So none other than longtime Park City local Dave Hanscom. Who better to start with? Hanscom co-wrote two guidebooks on ski touring. And if you don't have those in your library, well, rush out to the bookstore. He is the race director of the longest running race series in the country, the Wasatch Citizen Series, which kicks off this weekend. He also completed the Triple Trail Challenge this year. That's right, this year at almost 80 years old. The Triple Trail, that's Mid-Mountain Marathon, the Jupiter Peak Steeplechase, and the Round Valley Half Marathon. Dave Hanscom, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you very much. It's an honor. I can assure you to be the first to kick off your new series.
Well, I can imagine you have all of the justifications on why we chose you, because you're still at it. There's no sense of retirement or easing for you at 80 years old. In fact, you are already in the midst of hosting another race series soon.
Yes, we start on Saturday. Unfortunately, not in the manner in which we would prefer, for a number of reasons, but the virus being the largest of those reasons.
And with, you know, one of the things that when I attribute living in the mountains, obstacles, bumps in the road is not so much of a big deal. And we can adapt and the mountains have taught us that. What have the mountains taught you in light of this COVID obstacle and circumstances?
Well, relative to the race series, we've had to make our races virtual. The first one, that is. Hopefully things will be better as we move along through the season, but people are going to have to go out and ski by themselves or maybe with a couple of friends and time themselves and turn their times in, much like you mentioned Charlie's series over the summer, and that's basically what we had to do. And that's really the reason I jumped into the series, by the way, is because I just wanted to be out there doing it by myself and not making anybody wait for me at the finish.
Are you kidding, Dave? It's always my goal to try to beat you,
let alone
even have to wait for you. That just doesn't happen. So
it does, I'm afraid, but that's okay. You know, I think that's one of the important things as you get older is you just have to crank back your expectations and do what you feel like you can do accept that and appreciate.
Yeah, that's right. So because we're doing this new series, and we'll wrap it back up with the Wasatch Citizen Series. It's such a great series. But we wanted to ask you about what is the call of the mountains? I think that those of us who live in the mountains and who love the mountains, there's just something we can't really describe, but I'm going to ask you to describe what it is. What's the lure?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've thought about that over the years because I love to be in the mountains. I like to be outdoors. I like to interact with nature as it presents itself. You never know what you're going to encounter, like mama moose and two calves, my last run of the year before the snow came in. It's, you know, it's beautiful up there. But I think back in the day when I was really a more serious a mountaineer kind of person, it was the challenge as well. You know, it's just getting to the top of a mountain or you know, going up a route that was more difficult or longer or whatever. I think that was part of it as well.
Yeah, there is a lot of danger about living in the mountains and going out and challenging yourself. And you don't even have to be climbing Mount Everest to have a lot of danger surrounding you. There's avalanche danger and just the danger of exposure. How much does that play into mountain living for you? And how do you grapple with that?
You know, it's funny. I have never felt that what I did was really dangerous. You know, I've avoided some of the obviously dangerous things. You know, I don't climb where I need a rope, and I never have. I'm not going up Bridal Veil Falls with picks and spikes on my toes. But so danger, it's I don't think that's really part of it for me.
Perhaps maybe the best way to articulate it is challenges, the excitement or the enthusiasm of the unknown. I know that is for me. You know, when I've run into moose, it's okay. It's or it'd be exciting to run into a, not necessarily be attacked, but to see a mountain lion. So there's an element of where we accept that risk that we, you know, are embracing. So go ahead and share for us some, maybe, you know, you've seen some colorful stories here in Park City. Share a story or two that kind of highlight for you your experience of being here in the mountains, living in Park City. Anything that kind of comes to your mind, a historical story.
Oh, geez. Remember, I'm getting old. The memory is gone.
So many stories, you mean. So many. It's hard to choose.
Well, it's hard for me to bring up stuff from very many years ago, unfortunately.
How about the Wasatch Overland? I'm sure you have a few good stories about that.
Oh, yes, very many. Yeah, I skied the Wasatch Overland a lot of years.
And tell us what that is.
That was one of the more fun events. I remember some of the early days when we had to do different routes. We skied over Garrison Pass one year, and we skied down as far as the snow went, which was above where the montage is these days. And whoever was doing the timing just went up the road as far as they could go. And waited there for us to come over the pass. And that was about, I think that was the first time that I decided that, why am I following the road? They don't have any rules here. So I went up a few days before and figured out that there was a great big switchback that I could cut off. When I got to the switchback, there were a couple of guys ahead of me. Jock Glidden, God rest his soul, just passed away this year, and Steve Erickson, and they were obviously faster skiers than I was. So when I got to the big switchback, I just went straight, and I got to the top just before they did. And Steve caught me on the way down. I knew about another little shortcut, which I took, but unfortunately he noticed and took the same one and beat me to the finish. But anyway, yeah, a lot of great stories about the Wasatch Overland. That was fun. I miss it.
Well, I'll pick your brain a little bit more. We have a group of kids and folks who might love to repeat that legacy. And so we're up there enjoying those right now. What have the mountains in Park City taught you about life?
Oh, gosh. Boy, you guys are tough this morning.
Yeah, we're starting off.
Well, I guess just sticking with it, you know, when you do a tough outing, I'm thinking about running up and down King's Peak one year. I was coming back down and I was dehydrated and feeling like there's no way I was going to make it back to the car. You know, it's 35 miles or something. I don't remember exactly, but you got to do it. You don't have any choice. So you keep going. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to learn, that when the going gets tough, you just keep going. You know, you do what you got to do.
Or you get Giardia after you drink once a sheep pass by.
Well, fortunately, I didn't, although I have on other occasions. But I did come to a stream and take a big drink, you know, filled my water bottles again and drank a full one. And that got me back to the car. But yeah, you're right.
That is such a key element of doing the things that we do in the mountains. And I'm really glad you mentioned that. You've mentioned it before when we've talked to you about the aging athlete. And you always just say, well, you just do a little less, you take it a little easier, but you keep going. You keep going. And it's really good. One year I was doing the point-to-point mountain bike race, and I had decided that I was going to drop out at the next aid station, which was on Empire Pass, which is early into the race, pretty early. And I got to that aid station, and I said, well, okay, I'm just going to drop out at the next, you know, the next whatever. It wasn't the next aid station, but at this next junction, you know. And I got to the next junction, I said, well, I'm going to drop out at the next junction and the next aid station.
Yeah, well, that's really key. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I finished the race.
You got to take these things a little bit at a time. And,
yep.
And don't look toward the next 50 miles that you have to go after you've already gone 50, as Pete can relate, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You look at the next 5, and you get to the done with that, and you think about, okay, so the next section is only 5 miles, I can do that. But yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, and that really is how we ought to tackle life, you know, not let anything be so big and overwhelming that we don't attempt it or we just give up early on. And speaking of which, in the Wasatch Citizen Series, and I think it's race number 2, where you have to go 3 times around the 5K at the golf course here in Park City in a skate ski race. Every year, I'm going to drop out after the first lap, and then somehow I always make it and finish it. But wow, cross-country skiing, what a beautiful and difficult sport. So why should Pete Stoughton become a cross-country skier and join? Because we all know he'd do great on this series.
And let's point out that this is why we're not interviewing Lynn, because she keeps trying to drop out of things. Go ahead, Dave, and try to convince all of us new to Park City why we should skate ski and pass Lynn.
Well, you'll be happy to know, relative to that second race, is we've switched things around this year. We scheduled the first race for White Pine, although we turns out with no snow, we had to move it to Soldier Hollow. And it's a skate race. The second race is going to be a classic race at Soldier Hollow. This was how we originally scheduled it. So the 15-kilometer is going to be the 4th race, and that, in fact, will be at Soldier Hollow as well. So you'll have more time to get in shape for that 15-kilometer race, Lynn, so you'll be ready.
again, if you're new to Park City and you're listening to this, you probably don't even know the difference between classic and skate. Dave, if you could just clarify for us.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So classic skiing is the way skiing was for centuries. And, you know, they set 2 parallel tracks in the snow. Now they use big machines to do it. But formerly, when I was a kid, we just skied around in the mountains wherever the course went. And we left those 2 tracks. And when you race, you just slide your skis along in those 2 tracks. More recent technique, and more recent being in mid-80s, the faster way to ski on these fancy tracks that are groomed really smooth and really wide is a skating motion. And you use skis that are waxed to go really fast, as opposed to the classic skis, which have to have sticky stuff underneath so you can kick and push yourself along in the track. So anyway, skating is a faster technique, and it's an easier one to deal with from the point of view of waxing and learning. I think learning the technique as well.
you would suggest that skating or classic is easier for new people?
Well, I think I was thinking that when I said it, but I think maybe classic is easier from the point of view of learning the technique, because it's more like walking or running. You're just sliding your skis along parallel to one another. So it's a little more natural for people who haven't done a lot of skiing. The downside is waxing, but these days there are some waxless skis that are designed for racing, and so you don't even have to worry about the wax anymore. So probably classic skiing is easier to learn, but I think skating is a little more satisfying because you're cruising along a little better and you're, you know, enjoying a little more speed and it's more like biking or whatever other sport people might be used to.
And for me, you know, I would encourage those who have not done classic or skate to just get out and try it and laugh at yourself. If you want to see something funny, it's watching me on classic or skate skis. And for as coordinated as I am, it literally, my daughter, who is 11 years old, is making fun of me because the kids here in our school district have such early access to such a wonderful sport. And that would be my advice, you know, for those who are new in our community to, you know, the mountains can be intimidating, but you know, as we've said earlier, one piece at a time, to laugh and enjoy every little piece, whether you're good at it or not. Dave, what would be your advice to those who've moved in from various geographic areas into Park City, and they're curious, hey, how do I become a local? What are the insider tips from Dave Hanscom?
Starting out with cross-country skiing, take a lesson. You know, White Pine is right there on the golf course. The trails are very moderate, you know, almost flat. And they're really easy to learn on, and they have an excellent teaching staff over there. So that's a great way to start. I think a lot of people have kind of gotten down on the alpine skiing side of things, particularly this year, but even the last couple of years with the crowds getting bigger and bigger. You know, it's a little less enjoyable. And reservations this year maybe make it impossible for a lot of people. So, yeah, cross-country skiing is a great way to go. But, you know, there are so many other ways to use the trails around here. And we have, 400 or 500 miles of trails. I'm a mountain guy, so obviously that's what I'm going to recommend is get out on the trails. And some of the trails are just so heavily used that they're not quite as pleasant with so many mountain bikers cruising around. Mm-hmm. So find the trails that are less crowded and get out and enjoy the scenery, the flowers, the wildlife.
That's right. Well, bringing us back into winter and this coming Saturday, December 19th, I believe, is the first of the Wasatch Citizen Series. There are 5 races in the series, 2 classic and 3 skate, I believe. Is that right? And again, this one,
correct,
this week is which?
Yeah, so we're starting off with a skate race, and that's probably for the future years as well. We moved it from Soldier Hollow because their snowmaking early in the season has been kind of sketchy in past years. This year it's been truly amazing. We've had all this cold weather. Mm-hmm. White Pine has typically had better snow, but often not enough to set a classic track. So we decided to make our first race a skate race and have it at White Pine from now on. Unfortunately, there's no snow in Park City, so we're going to move it to Soldier Hollow. As I said, it's a virtual race, so people will go out and ski the course whenever it's convenient, starting on Saturday morning at 9:00 at Soldier Hollow. They check in at the ski shop in the lodge at Park City or at Soldier Hollow, and they can ski the course anytime between Saturday and a week from Monday, the 28th. So we're giving people a lot of time, hoping people will spread out and we won't get any crowds. on the course at any particular time. So it's different, but hopefully it'll work. We're asking people to go online and turn in their times, and we'll put some results on the web.
That sounds really interesting. I can't imagine what it'll be like without Amy McDonald sprinting out so quickly ahead of me from the from the start line.
Yeah.
Will it be motivating or otherwise?
Well, you know, you can call your friends, and you know, maybe Carolyn and you will go out together and see which of you two can get to the finish sooner.
Call Amy up and replicate
it. Be out there and kind of have a little friendly competition.
That's right. Oh, I love it. Okay, Soldier Hollow. And you can always go to Wasatch Citizen Series online, which is through utahnordic.org/WCS.
If you go to just utahnordic.org, the first thing you'll see is a big banner that says Wasatch Citizen Series, and click on that, and you'll go through all of our rules. You know, wear a mask all the time, except maybe when you're getting real stressed out going up the hills on the course, then you can pull it down, but we want everybody to be safe out there.
That's right. Well, Dave, we have just another minute to talk about Rosie Brennan. How about back-to-back World Cup wins? I don't, have you been following? It's just
how about even
amazing.
One World Cup win?
I know.
But to win a sprint and a distance race and to be the World Cup leader in both. Amazing.
Just amazing. And for those of you who don't know Rosie Brennan, she's a Park City High School graduate, grew up here in Park City. Her mom, Wiggy Brennan, must be so proud right now.
Oh, she is. I saw her last weekend at Soldier Hollow. She was helping out with the Nordic Combined Race. She was ecstatic, as was everybody else. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
I remember when she was just a little kid just learning how to ski. You know, she obviously had a great motor.
Yes.
But it takes a lot more than that to be the best skier in the world.
Yeah, absolutely, especially against those Norwegians. Well,
yeah.
Dave, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. We're really happy that you were the first in our new series. And
well, thanks.
We can't wait to see you out on the cross-country trails as well as all of the trails here in Park City. So thanks,
yeah,
thanks again.
Well, if you see an old guy out there with poles, I've been tripping a little more of late, so I use poles so I don't crash. It's probably me.
Just okay.
Jogging along, having fun.
Having a great time. All right. Thanks
so
much, Dave.
Thanks. You too. Good to chat.
And, wow, Dave Hanscom, a legend. And our new series, Living a Mountain Life. We'll talk to the Tolley family next week.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.